Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast. It's for May 25th. It's brought to you by One World Sports. I'm John Gibson, and with me is Jim Allen. What's happening, buddy? It's so good to talk to you again this week. You know what I was thinking?
I don't know. What were you thinking, John?
I was thinking, we got to do more than one show a week. It's not enough.
It isn't enough, but it is enough, if you know what I'm saying. It's not like I get too much of you, because I don't.
But
the workload is plenty. Yeah. I mean, we could certainly do it. I mean, there's certainly enough to do. You know, like if this was a job, it would be blast.
It would be excellent. Yeah, if it were a job. But unfortunately, it's not. So we only have a little bit of time each week, and that time is now. So let's get started. On this week's show, we've got a chat with Orlando Roman of the Swallows, and we're going to talk about interleague play and answer a great listener question. So let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases!
All right, so I went out to Jingu, went back behind, where the practice facility is out there, and out in the green grass, and watched the guys work out at, watched the Swallows and the Bay Stars a little bit work out, and got a chance to talk to Orlando Roman. And I had spoken to him about two seasons ago, and I'm like, hey, you know, we've got to get you on the show. And he said, yeah, man, I'd love to do it anytime. Just let me know. And then he got hurt last year. And didn't see him for a long while. And I saw him earlier this season. I said, Orlando, we're going to get you. And next time I get out to Jingu, I'm going to get you. So when you hear the interview, you'll hear me saying, I got you now. You can't run away, buddy.
Well, the first time you were trying to get him, was that like when he won five games in a row?
No.
We were calling him the Roman Emperor?
No, that wasn't it, but no.
Okay.
All right, he came to the Swallows in 2012, and he was a starter. And then in 2013, he worked out of the bullpen for the most part. And then, as I said a second ago, he got hurt last year.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, getting hurt as a Swallows player seems to be written into the contracts or something, like required.
Yeah, I think it is a contractual obligation.
So that's no surprise that he missed some.
So, son, here's your contract, and, fill in the blank where you expect to get hurt.
Yeah, that's the blank, and we'll just deduct that out of your contract.
Cost-saving measure.
Cost-effective measures. Yeah, we need them. We need to write him into the contract. So, and here's a guy, you know, he pitched in the States at a community college for one semester, and he said, he was telling me that was just so he could get drafted.
Oh, yeah.
And then he got drafted, but he didn't do much in terms of getting to the major leagues. Then he pitched in the minors, he went to Taiwan, and now he's here. And, you know, he got a victory today in relief. He threw 1.2 innings and came away with a win after the Swallows rallied late. And we might talk about that later. But, you know, I think while the starters are a driving force behind why the Swallows got off to a pretty good start and their pitching staff was doing really well, I think the relief corps was equally, if not more important, because a lot of those games, the starters weren't finishing them off. And they were holding guys under three runs. What was it? It was 14 consecutive games to start the season. New NPB record of holding teams or opponents with three runs or fewer. So, I mean, it was a great start for the pitching staff, and they were doing really well. But, of course, they've come back to earth and all that stuff. But the thing I like about Roman is he's the kind of guy, you know, I always point out about the hitters, but he's that kind of, not a junkyard dog kind of a guy, but just a scrappy kind of a hard-nosed guy who, you know, he doesn't have the best stuff, but he's kind of fearless. He'll go into any situation. If you bring him in with bases loaded or late in games with guys on base, he's not going to panic. He's going to battle. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have the greatest stuff. He doesn't have the most talent, but he can pitch effectively. He can pitch aggressively. He can do what you need him to do in situations.
Yeah, I think the key there is pitch aggressively. I mean, he's really, when you said fearless, I think what it is he's willing. He knows that he can, you know, he's one of these guys, he knows that if he can execute his pitches in the zone, he's going to be okay for the most part. For most of the time.
Right. And he wants.
And so he's saying, well, that's going to happen sometimes. You know, let's worry about today. Get the out. So he's pretty effective.
Yep.
You know, he's a very basic, he's a very run-of-the-mill pitcher, but that bit about, you know, just executing and worrying about his stuff makes him very useful.
Right, and not being afraid. I think that's important. So, and then he's been Mr. 7th, 8th inning setup role guy this season after making one start. And during the chat, you'll hear him greet a couple players, and that was Takajo and Tsutsugo, who walked past us as they were going to start their workout. So let's go ahead and take a listen to the interview.
All right, we've been trying to have Orlando Roman on the show for about 2 years, but today we finally got him. I got you. Don't run away.
All right.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. No problem.
Okay, so your role with this team has been as a reliever, and then as a starter, and as a reliever, and as a starter. You keep going back and forth. What's that like?
I don't prefer nothing. I just like to pitch, you know, whatever they need me. I just like to do, you know, if you want me to start, normally to relief, I go on relief. So I don't prefer nothing. I just like to pitch. Whatever they need, I just try to help the team.
How does your pitching change, though? If you go as a reliever or a starter, you have to change your approach.
Yeah, it's because now when you're going to throw like one inning, you have to focus in maybe like at least two pitches. Like when you go as a starter, you're going to use all your pitches. So, and it's kind of like, it's okay because you don't have time to think, you know, like starter, you think a lot. And then when you're in the bullpen, you got to go right away to the game and try to get the hitter out. So you don't have time to think.
What about your preparation? How does that change?
Yeah, I think it's the same, you know, it's the same. But the only thing is that you're going to see more activities, more and more and more action every day. You know, like you have to warm up every day. You're in the game every day. No, as a starter, only you pitch once a week. And, I don't know. I think the preparation has to be the same, you know, because here in this country you throw a lot, you know, so you have to be ready anytime.
Now, how long does it take you to warm up in the bullpen?
No, but they give you like one inning to just to play catch, you know, to warm up a little bit, and then if you go to the game, you have to warm up again. So like two times a game, and then I think it's enough, and you have time to get ready to pitch in against the reliever.
Okay. All right. Now, speaking of pitching, you guys, the team at the beginning of the season, that first month, the pitchers were awesome. Why was it so good?
I don't know. But we still the same guys, and I think it's because the starters once they're going deep on the game. They go every game. They're going deep, and then we got young bullpen. They have pretty good arms, but I think like this is part of the game. You know, like you're gonna have good game, bad games, and we're trying to figure out what's going on. But now I think from 2 days ago we went pitching good. Lately, because we lead the league, I think we break a record, like a 15 straight game, less than 3 runs, and I think we've been doing the same. You know, like say, like we're gonna have bad day, good days, and then that's what I think. You know, like seriously, I really don't know like what's going on, because we've been doing the same thing. You know, and then I think pressure on because we don't score that many runs. I don't know. It's like, I think it's mentally.
Yeah, it's basically the same dudes. From last year, you guys added Naruse and Arakaki has come back.
Arakaki was pitching good as a starter because we got him last year, but they don't give him that much chance. So this year, as a starter, I think he's doing a good job. You know, like we need starters. And then I heard that Tatayama is pitching good. You know, he's coming back, and then Yoshinori. So I think we got some guys in minor league. So I think he's going to join the team late in the season.
Which one of these young pitchers has been the most improved during?
Like right now, Tokuyama. Tokuyama, 62. That guy, now they find him his spot because he was a starter and then was long in the minor league. So now he's been pitching the bullpen pretty good. So he's like kind of guy, like he can pitch one inning, long relief, anything. And then he got pretty good arm. So I think that's the only, the newest guys. So he's been doing good so far.
Okay. Now, how has the new manager been? Because I know he was the manager in the minor leagues, but how has he been on the first team?
Yeah, he's a manager, like, you know, the players, you know, like, he's been, us. He's a young manager, you know, so he knows the game and he knows the players. So I think it's all right, you know, like he's very kind, like he talks to the players, like, nice. So I think he's going to be a pretty good manager in the MPB.
What's the biggest change from being under Ogawa and being under Manaka?
It's because Ogawa is like more, I think it's like a more serious guy, you know, like more veteran guy. Like, I don't know, I don't compare, you know, both of them.
Right.
Because they are different style of manager.
Mm-hmm.
But Ogawa is like good manager because they give you chance to everybody, you know, like it's pretty nice. Like he gives you a chance to play, mm-hmm. no matter what.
Right.
And no, we're here to, you know, to play hard and win, you know, and I understand that, but he's those managers, they give you a lot of chance compared to the other managers in the league. Like it's, they give you two chances and that's it.
Mm. All right, so did he have a specific plan for you? Because I know you started one game and then you went to the bullpen.
So far, I'm going to stay in the bullpen. So I really don't know. I just the day if you want to change me to throw in a starter or whatever, I just have to prepare, you know, like I've been doing, prepare myself to whatever happens.
Okay, now you guys as a team, you had a really, really good start. We're playing, we're winning a lot of games, but then you had the 9-game losing streak.
Yeah, we get that. Wow, that was crazy, man. We get that nightmare for almost half a month, you know, like,
yeah.
We, our last game we win was like in May 2nd, yeah, something like that. We've been losing a lot of games, and yeah, I think that's part of the game. So we've been there before, you know, like this team was there before, and then as soon as we win that game against Giants, I think the everything changed, you know, like people start getting more comfortable and a bunch of stuff. So like I said, this is a long season, man. A lot of things gonna happen, you know. Now the weather is gonna change, it's gonna be very, very hot, and you know, it's like we have to play hard every day, you know. We can never give up.
Now, this team doesn't really have a great ace as a starting pitcher. Is that one of the reasons that losing streaks can be a problem?
Nah, we got good starting pitcher. We got good guys who've been playing here before, so people know them, you know, people know. It's like I said, you can have a bad day and then you can have a very, very good day. It's like, that's baseball, you know. Baseball is like that, like not every game is gonna be perfect.
Right, okay. Now, you pitched in Taiwan before you came to Japan. What's the difference between the Taiwanese players and facing Japanese players?
It's Taiwan, the only thing in Taiwan is they only have four teams, you know, so you're going to face everybody in the week, the same guys every time, you know. So it's kind of like it's good and not good because you're going to know them a lot and they're going to know you a lot, you know. So it's kind of hard to pitch against three teams because only three, you're facing three teams. And in compared to this league, I think here, you know, like more teams is like you're gonna compete more,
mm-hmm.
and then I think it's different competition, you know, between Taiwan and Japan. You know, like you guys see lately, like in the World Cup and a bunch of stuff, like Japan always beat Taiwan, but they have good competition over there. You know, like I said, but the only thing is because they only have three, four teams, so it's kind of hard, you know. But it's good league. I like it. I really like it. That's where I'm coming from, Taiwan, you know.
Okay, so speaking of different competition, you guys are going to start the interleague schedule next week. So how do you prepare for the other league?
Yeah, it's this year is going to be less games, you know.
Right.
Like it's not going to be like year before, you know. Like we have like 16 games, something like that.
Yeah.
We're going to have a different game, you know. We have to adjust their league and they have to adjust our league when they come here and their pitcher have to hit, you know. So we've been playing against them like in spring training. We've been facing them. So I think we will be okay, you know. Like I think that it's the same baseball, you know. Like the only thing when we play visiting team, you know, we have a chance to get a DH. So the pitcher's not hitting, so the pitcher can go deep on the game, you know, because they cannot change hit a spot and a bunch of stuff. So I think it's gonna be all good for us because all our starters, they can go deep, and we got Naruse, so he coming from that league, so he knows. He knows that league for a while, so he can teach other starters and a bunch of stuff. So I think we're gonna be okay.
Has Naruse, has he given you any advice yet?
Not yet. We don't talk yet. You know, like as soon we're gonna start playing with them, you know, he's gonna give us some hints and a bunch of stuff. I think we're gonna prepare for them.
All right, well, good luck.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you for being with us.
All
right, man. All right.
Thank you very much, Orlando.
Oh, thank you very much. Always good to see you the other day. Always nice to say hi.
Yeah.
And good to hear you on the show, finally.
Yeah. All right. So
Stop dodging John.
I think.
Or if you want to, I'll give you lessons.
Hashtag hi.
I'm stopping you. All right, well, your thoughts now. What stood out for you?
Well, a whole bunch of things, but the Swallows starters, you know, he said the Swallows starters were going deep and the bullpen was well rested. So I guess the answer is they were going deep and then they weren't, as far as his analysis goes. I thought it was interesting. I thought his insight into the managers was quite interesting, because it's hard to get players to talk about comparing managers.
Right.
Because they always want to say, oh, you can't compare them. What they say, what that means is, I don't want to compare them, like, in public. Because, you know, they got to look out for their guys, and I understand that. But I thought his stuff was quite, his explanation was quite good. And also interesting that he prepares essentially the same as, you know, although the role is different, he prepares the same for being a starter and being a reliever. So obviously what isn't the same is the sense that you have to be a finished product, you know, 5 days a week as a reliever.
Mm-hmm.
And a starter, you have days where you know you're not going to pitch.
Right.
Not only that, you know you can't pitch because they've left you off the 25-man game roster.
Mm-hmm.
So it is different in terms of a day-to-day thing, but I'm guessing that on the day he's expecting to pitch, it's the same for him.
Yeah, I did find that too odd that he would say the preparation. And I what I was expecting him to say was, well, I have to know those guys on the bench who might come mm-hmm. in and pinch hit. I'd have to know what their strengths are and what their weaknesses are and what the game plan is. And he didn't say any of that. Maybe he was thinking it was more physical in terms of the preparation. But
Well, there's, you know,
it's a vague word, I think, when you say preparation.
Well, there is. It is true. And there's a variety of ways you can be prepared. But obviously, number one is, and this is the story behind, I think, you know, that's the, as Matt Merton, I was asking him about facing Hayato Takagi and said, how do you deal with the guy who has that really good slider and he also has that two-seam fastball that he runs in on right-handers and goes away with the that really good slider, and then he can throw you a fork now and then a curve now and then and then hit you with the four-seamer. But how do you prepare for that? He says, well, number one, I got to get myself right. You know, I have to do all the things I need to do.
Mm.
Once everything that I have is working, then I can deal with the chess game.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the preparation starts at home with what you're doing. And in that sense, I understand that. The gravy will be different, obviously, for him.
Interesting.
But the preparation is on many different levels. Can be, you know, it's a physical and mental and whatever, psychological, I guess, perhaps, if you're into that
as well.
Into
that, exactly. Yeah. For me, he made a couple of big statements. And I think the first one was, in this country, you pitch a lot. As a reliever, but even as a starter, I mean, I think all you do is throw.
Yeah, I guess I'm guessing that the other one he could have done, and I wouldn't be surprised, is in this country you run a lot,
or in this country you practice a lot, or
yeah,
in this country there's a lot of meetings.
Run a lot, practice a lot, pitch a lot, go to meetings a lot. A lot is kind of the operative word for things in Japan. You know, a little, what's that? Moderation.
Too small.
Moderation.
To
try that someday. Moderation. And see how that gets you here.
Yeah. The other thing he said that made me perk up was that you don't have a lot of chances, maybe one or two. And, you know, with the pitchers with the Swallows, I'm not sure if I agreed with that wholeheartedly, because they had so many injuries last year that they just needed anybody who could throw and get maybe three outs and without giving up a run and maybe five or six batters. And I think anybody who could do that was going to get a chance last year, more than one or two.
Yeah, we were waiting for them to send John an email. Can you give us, see if, we know you probably don't think you can do it, but we never know until you try.
Hey, send me a five-day contract. You're right, he hit on a lot of topics. The Tateyama Yoshinori topic, I think, you know, Shohei Tateyama, the former ace, who's coming back from yet another Tommy John surgery. And Yoshinori Sato, who I know was in camp, and we heard...
Pitched in the preseason,
and we expected to see him before now, and I haven't seen him, so I'm wondering what's going on.
Yeah.
But Orlando says he's pitching well, and I have to believe it. I did not check the numbers, but, you know,
Orlando's pretty in tune with what goes on the farm team. As much time as he spends there, he's probably got it hotwired into his brain by now.
But it's good to know that he knows what's going on with those guys and that you know, they are pitching well. But so I expect to see maybe Sato hopefully soon. I don't know about Tateyama.
I haven't heard anything about Sato in a while, but I have heard about Tateyama. His throwing all of a sudden was news.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. I mean, with Yoshinori Sato, in last August, he was supposedly airing it out. Now, the numbers they gave, you know, that he was throwing 145 or 148 in a minor league game made me think somebody entered the wrong number in their text message.
Hashtag high heat.
Oh, that was a four. That was supposed to be a three.
Yeah. Again, I haven't, just like you, I haven't really seen that much or heard that much. And you'd think if he's throwing that well, he'd be up already.
Well, on the other hand, they have this, what can I say? They had this good start to the season and perhaps thinking that they didn't need anybody else. But that's another story, which we'll get to in a moment.
Okay.
I like to talking about Manaka and Ogawa is more serious. Yeah, certainly Ogawa comes, I like them both, and I think Manaka has the best part of Ogawa's managing technique, which is to let the players play and let the coaches coach. Mm-hmm. I think he works really well with the coaches.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the stuff I've talked to with the coaches, they are really enjoying this challenge in the same sense that Manaka, it seems like he brought everybody together and says, what do we need to accomplish as a team? Give me your feedback. Okay, this is what we're going to do. You know, how can we accomplish it? He seems to be a real leader.
Mm-hmm.
With Ogawa, now I think that might have been something that was missing a little bit with Ogawa. Ogawa was great at getting people to relax and do their jobs.
Right.
But in terms of direction and policy, I didn't think the team was ever always going in the same direction.
Hmm.
And of course, you can't blame him for the injuries. Do I know that? No. I don't think you can blame him for the injuries. I don't see how you can blame him for the injuries. But in any case, the big difference, I think, is the leader. Manaka strikes me as being a leader in the sense that he listens to everybody's opinion and makes decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And he's friendlier and smilier.
Yeah, I mean, he brings a personality for sure, a little bit more personality.
Yeah, Ogawa was more like the school teacher.
Yeah.
Kind of. I liked him, and he was funny, and I appreciated his sense of humor. But he was also, with Ogawa, when you talked to him, you felt he was keeping you just at a kind of a comfortable distance.
Mm, yeah, exactly. Which I haven't talked to him.
I'm going to tell you this, but it's because that's only what I want you to know. I can't really be bothered to go into this in much detail.
Mm.
But Manaka is, I think, more unreserved in that respect. So anyway, so that's my take on that. But I thought his input was really interesting. He talks to the players. I think, yeah, he does the Ogawa bit about giving everybody a chance to play.
Mm-hmm.
And you keep getting chances. Yes, I think that refers to the whole team. I don't think there's nobody on the Swallows who's out of chances. And I think, of course, part of that is being with a weak team. It's easier to give guys chances.
Right, because you want to try something new for sure.
You know, it's not as easy if you're the Giants manager because it's not as easy for the Giants manager because then you've got names to manage and you've got reputations to manage.
And you've got the media to manage.
How can you play this guy in this game? Kind of nonsense. With the Swallows, there's none of that. I mean, there's interpersonal issues, but there's none of that. You know, we're a winning team. How can you do that kind of stuff? So, yeah, really, really quite interesting. Now, as far as why the Swallows, now we've talked about this, and I recall you saying, and I said something pretty stupid.
What?
I mean, what? I don't mean like I normally say things that are pretty stupid.
Wait a second,
I mean,
that's my line. I'm supposed to say you said something stupid.
Oh, I apologize. I don't want to take credit for your witty remarks.
Okay, go ahead.
But as opposed to the times when I usually said, and I'll be specific in this case, you said that you expected the Swallows' pitching to get worse.
And I don't think I phrased it that way.
Well, to decline.
I
when they were doing everything well, and I said yes to some degree, but my point was that a lot of that is based on the defense, and that I didn't expect the defense to get worse. Okay, now having said that, about a week later or 10 days later, I threw together a new view for my database so I could analyze like divergent data mm-hmm. from all different sources,
right?
And sort of look at whole the whole team picture, what they do compared to their opponents give away, what they give away. And I came to the conclusion that the reason the Swallows' runs allowed total was so abysmally small, so bizarrely small, or unbelievably small, was that they were the luckiest team in Japan. In the sense that they should have allowed many more runs, but they weren't. They were giving up plenty of hits. They were giving up, you know, they were doing all the things that lead to having runs scored against you, except not having them scored. So I'm guessing that they were very lucky with runners in scoring position. They were very lucky with opposing base runner errors and so on and so forth.
All right.
Okay, so that was part of it.
Well, can I just say something? I don't think I even said that their pitching was going to get worse. I think what I said was I didn't think their pitching was sustainable, and that I thought that they were going to start to give up more runs. I know it's semantics.
That's an important distinction.
Okay.
Because essentially they were playing over their heads, and I think that was obvious. I didn't see them finishing the season. Well, I don't see them getting bad either, for the same reason that they were good partially because the defense actually, and I know I saw a note that you pinned on our game notes, our little shot sheet notes, our program notes.
Uh-huh.
The defense is not that good, but I think the Swallows' defense is better than average in terms of turning batted balls into outs. It has been better than average this year. They don't give away a lot of freebies, and they went from a team that was the worst in Japan in both picking balls up and turning double plays to better than average in picking up balls and one of the better double play teams in Japan. So the defense is the part that I'm really sold on. Having said that, I don't know. There's a few questions, that are unanswered in that, and the constant injuries don't help. But I am impressed with the defense. But as far as the pitching goes, yeah, good days, bad days. I'll go with that. I think they were a little bit better and they were a little bit lucky. But are they a bad pitching team? No.
All right. Well, I mean, obviously they had this string of 14 games, 3 runs if you were allowed mm-hmm. to open the season. But you look at them in May, 19 games played now through Sunday's games, and they've only had 7 games where they've allowed 3 runs or fewer. And Lasting's Millage, who was injured for a while, came back for a couple 3 games there, I guess it was.
Yeah.
But I still don't like their outfield defense. And I think that plays a role in some balls that, obviously, if they're not caught in the outfield, it's more than one base. A lot of times.
Yeah.
It's not always the case. Sometimes a guy just can't get to a ball that falls in front of him and it goes for a single.
Fair enough.
So,
but if I had to have outfield defense or infield defense, I'd
take the infield because there are more chances. I totally understand that and I agree. But, you know, when I look at their defense, I'm fine with their infield defense. It doesn't I can see what you're talking about. They're better than average. But when I look at their outfield defense, I don't see that. And I think that can cost them. And like you said, maybe they were just fortunate that some balls weren't hit on a rope or on a line to the outfield with guys on base. But it seems
I hear what you're saying, yeah.
And I also think that obviously the teams, you know, they've played them a few times now. There's we've gone three turns now into how many times you face the other teams, and they are making adjustments on their pitchers. I think that's all that we're seeing that too. Plus the hot weather, the ball is flying a little bit better. So I think we're seeing a combination of a lot of things as to why they're pitching. But I think it's going to, you know, I think they're going to go through ups and downs, obviously, and this is one of their down times. I expect them to be better. What I didn't expect is for them to not be scoring as many runs as they did because they have the same guys, basically.
Yeah, well, that was the weird thing. Well, you mean compared to last year?
Yeah, the run production compared to last year. Yuhei Takai had
a breakout season. Well, that's not a surprise.
Well, he had a breakout season, and he's not hitting with the power that he hit with before. And
not yet.
Tetsuto Yamada hasn't been hitting like the Tetsuto Yamada of last year, obviously. It's hard to
not
keep
yet.
Up. But he's picking it up. He has been picking up recently. And all this said, you know, we're talking about them like they're dead. And they did have this 9-game skid, and they didn't look good. But there's just 4 games or 3 games under 500. And even the Carper, just 7 games under 500. So nobody's really out of this thing in terms of the postseason run. So, but I just don't think their defense just doesn't seem to be great to me. And, you know, I really didn't expect vast improvement over last year anyway. So I think when they start to hit and when they start to pitch at the same time, I think we're going to see good things from the team again.
Now, how many times in May they allowed opponents to score under three runs or less?
Three or fewer. I had seven times in 19 games.
About 10. The norm would be close to 10.
Yeah. So they're under that. So and the games, I mean, you look at some of the scores, 7 runs, 6 runs, 5 runs, not so bad. I wouldn't worry about so much about that.
Well, they started out badly, sure.
Yeah, 6 runs, and then 5 runs.
The things have kind of stabilized now. I mean, when they were in that losing streak, they gave up. They had 5 days, 6 days in a row where they got pummeled pretty good.
Yeah, and they've won back-to-back games where they've allowed 16 runs. You know, eight runs on Saturday and 8 runs on Sunday. But they scored 12 to win on Saturday, and they scored 9. What was going on in the ninth inning with that?
Well, I think you have to go back to the eighth inning when the Carp have a 3-run lead, and you know, and Katsuhiro Nagakawa. I mean, I think the Carp they have a tough balancing act. Right now, and I'm not talking about Ogata's managing a game strategy balancing act. I think they have a roster balancing act, which is what to do with your pitchers. You know, you've got I don't know what Deontay Heath's status is.
Deontay Heath's status is he wasn't closing games the way they wanted him to, so they sent him to the
minors. Right now they pretty much ran out their bullpen today, and they were forced to use Katsuhiro Nagakawa setup man, and he's not terrible, but he's somebody you really don't want within a few runs of a lead. You know, this is the guy you want out there when you're leading by 3, 4, or 5 runs. You know, who gets you in a couple innings towards somebody who you can trust more.
I just have to say this one thing. Don't you dare compliment him like that, saying that he's not terrible.
Hashtag hi.
He's got a 3.5 ERA.
How is it that low?
That's a good question. I don't know. Has he given up a lot of unearned runs? I don't know.
He's like a guy on the side of on the sidewalk giving away free stuff. You know, he's giving it up to everybody.
Wow. But yeah, I mean, before the show, I put him in the category with the Shuichiro Osada of Yokohama. And, you know, they're similar quality pitchers. They're guys who although Osada was never really good. He has never really been good since after he got drafted first by the Lions. But this is a guy who basically, he and Nagakawa should come with either childproof caps or warning labels. You know, don't use this guy, you know, in any situation where the game's on the line, because they're just not that, they're not reliable.
3.77 on his ERA after today's game. So, no, it's like lighter fluid.
He didn't pitch all that badly, but he's a disaster waiting to happen. And of course, the other part of that equation was they'd scored all these runs. They had up and down production, and they got here's a team. I understand the Carp's dilemma. Here's a team that's been starved for run production all year, and Brad Eldred's back, and they're just salivating that last year's home run champ is back, and he hit 2 home runs today.
Yep.
And they're probably thinking, well, maybe he can hit a third. You know, like let's keep him in the outfield with a 3-run lead, and Nate Scherholtz has showed us that he has gotten used to Japanese pitching.
Mm-hmm.
At
had a good
least
week.
He's overcome. You know, he's gotten used to seeing it at least. And Takahiro
Arai
looks like his hand is healthy. He's just picked up where it was before he jammed his thumb or his index finger a couple of weeks ago. So these guys were bopping today. You know, 6 hits, 7 RBIs between the three of them, and it's like, let's just keep going. And they lost sight of the fact that they had a 3-run lead and they only needed 6 outs. And why don't put you got a 3-run lead. Why don't you put the best outfield, you know, the best defense on the field instead of keeping these three guys in there?
Yeah. Well, and it burned him. The ball found Eldred and went past him. And it looked like to me that that ball could have been caught by anybody on their roster.
Well, that's not true. But any outfielder on their roster.
Yeah.
I mean, they could have had Naka Higashi out there. They could have had Soichiro Amaya out there. They could have been three guys they could have put out there in left field who would have caught that ball.
Yeah. But instead, it turns out for a win for the.
Well, that's
Swallows.
Part of the that's part of it, and then the other one is the belief that let's put the go. I mean, this goes against the book. You're supposed to never put the go-ahead run on base, and I don't really care about that much. But I'm not a big for intentional walks.
Yeah, I saw your tweet.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not big, and the reason is. They basically, well, first of all, let's go back to the kind of weird managing in this inning. My buddy Mitsuru Monaka is down by a run in the ninth inning, and he's playing for a tie. One would think, however, he could have also anticipated that they'd give Yamada a free pass. If I bunt to second, I'll get both runners on base.
Yeah.
That could happen. I mean, that's almost like clockwork, considering Yamada's clearly the best hitter on the Swallows right now.
Mm-hmm.
That could have happened, and the guy coming up is Masayoshi Miwa. You know, Masayoshi Miwa has had two extra bases in 143.
Yeah.
But that's not really, really a good point. But basically, when you put the runner, you're basically arguing that you want to prevent Yamada from hitting a home run. Now, Yamada's
hit a base hit.
Right. Well, no, because a home run, basically. Well, or you're playing for one run that he'll not get a single, and you know his chances of getting a single are better than Miwa's, which is probably a good bet in tying the game. But you can survive tying the game. But you're putting him on first base, betting that the chances of Miwa getting a double are worse than the chances of Yamada hitting a home run. Mm-hmm. And that's not a good bet, especially with Miwa batting left-handed. And Yamada does hit a few home runs, but he doesn't hit a lot of right-handed home runs off of right-handers away from Jingu Stadium. The only time he's hit a home run off a right-hander away from Jingu this year was at Yokohama, which is also a launching pad.
Mm.
So it's not a done deal. I think it was not a horrible bet, but, you know, I think the whole problem was having Brad. I mean, I shouldn't say the whole problem was. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what the probabilities are. And I'm not going to second guess it except to say that having Brad Eldred, in fact, did kill them with that decision.
Yeah, I'm there with you.
I don't know what the percentages difference were, but it turned out to be a bad decision. Whether it was a good percentage move or not, I can't argue completely. It doesn't seem like it.
All right, so a smooth and seamless transition to interleague play, which starts on Tuesday. And of course, I want to ask you who you think is going to win, and I know what your answer is going to be, so I'll skip that part. But we're moving from a 24 game schedule.
How do you know I already going to say I don't care?
Yes, I know that.
Okay.
We're moving from a 24 game schedule to 18 games this year, and they're going to be 6-3 game series against the other league for each team, and you have 3 at home and 3 on the road. So,
against different teams,
obviously, and you only play them once. So, for example, you know, if you're lucky, you'll get the SoftBank Hawks at home if you're a Central League team, where you can get mm-hmm. rid of their DH and play them, and you can see if you can dig out somebody who can bat as a DH on your team. But you take away that advantage, make them play a guy like let's say Tomoya Mori has to go in the field for the Cebu Lions. Then that's you're hoping that defensively they'll be weakened, but we'll see how that works out. Anyway, it's going to be new, it's going to be different, and it's going to be really quick. It's going to be really fast with 18 games. So I put together a short list, I think, because you've talked about this in the past, that the Central mm-hmm. League teams don't carry guys on their roster who can serve or who normally serve as DHs. They just...
Yeah, really good hitters who have defensive liabilities.
Mm. And I think that's the way I even phrased it, right? Because I sent you this earlier in the week via email first.
Well, the list was for the Hiroshima Carp, Brad Eldred or Nate Shearholtz.
Right.
I think the answer is there for today. Sorry, Brad. I love you, but I mean, the guy's coming off ACL surgery.
Yeah. I think even he would agree right now. Well, let me go through the list real quick. So for, for the Dragons, I had Ricardo Nanita. For the Giants, I had Juan Francisco. And these are guys who could easily transition as a DH and probably not affect the team too much in terms of where they want to put him in the field for defense anyway.
Correct.
Not a big deal. Juan Francisco for the Giants, he would be from the left side. You know, they have a lot of options from the left side. I think all their options.
They don't have any options in the right-handed side.
Well, they do in a guy named Yano. And he just came up. He's back. And, you know, he could serve. I mean, you know.
Well, he's not
a pinch hitter, though. Yeah. But
I think they are hurting. It's unusual for them to be hurting from the right. Well, not from the right
hurt.
Side.
Yeah.
But, you know, they don't really have any, but the guys, you know, who I think might end up being the right-handed pinch hitter is our DH is Kataoka.
Yeah, that's who I was going to say. That's who I was going to say.
Because they don't have a right-handed guy this year. This is very unusual for the Giants because they almost always have some, you know, they've got John Bowker or they've got somebody who can't play right now, but basically they're really lopsided left-handed hitting team.
Right.
Okay. Murata would be good, but
he's a good defensive
not hitting.
But they need his deep. They need him defensively.
They need his defense, right? So
for the Swallows, and this was before because I sent this to you, I think on Thursday. This was before Saturday's collision. But I had Lasting's millage for the Swallows, but he had a collision in the outfield and he's got a knot on his head, and so we don't know how long he's going to be out. And then for the Tigers, I had none, but then I threw in Kosuke Fukudome because. He's there because what the Tigers like to do is Kentaro Sekimoto, they love him as a pinch hitter, but I mean, he's going to get you a single here and there, but he's not going to hit for power. So I had none. I think Fukudome, I'm fine with him playing in the field. He's not killing them. For the Bay Stars, I had Yoshitomo Tsutsugo.
You know, the guy for the Tigers might bring up is Egoshi. Guy who can't really play in the outfield who they won't want to be their center fielder.
Well, I also thought Ito would be a good Hayata.
Hayata Ito, yeah.
But they could put him in the field and Fukudome would DH anyway, so it's the same thing. So I think he'd probably be better off. And then for the Bay Stars, I had Yoshitomo Tsutsugo, who has been playing a decent left field, but again, we know why he's in left field.
And he got hurt today.
And he got hurt he's got a bad wheel. So we'll see if he gets deactivated or not.
Yeah, Bay Stars, I don't see anybody they're going to... Yeah, without Tsutsugo, they're kind of stuck. So that's a tough one.
So I would say, you know, the Swallows, the Tigers, and the Bay Stars don't really have a guy who's going to boost their lineup.
Yeah, that's the problem. The Swallows' problem is not that Kazuhiro Hatakeyama would not be a great DH because he would be. The problem is they don't have anybody to take his place at first base who can hit.
Mm.
You know, they'd end up replacing him for his defense. And they'd get that very tiny marginal upgrade on defense. But they'd end up putting a guy who can't hit in the lineup. My guess is what they'll see is they'll take Hatakeyama out and they'll put Araki, who's basically a 28-year-old minor league shortstop, second baseman, third baseman, who can hit a bit. You know, he's like Yamada Light. He's that kind of player. Decent bat speed, decent foot speed, but not really a fielder.
Okay.
He might be the DH.
So, you know, I'm going to make a prediction. I know you're not going to play along with this, so I'll just do it by myself.
By yourself, dude.
I just hope the Carp don't lose every game. I hope they don't get swept. And you were joking earlier that this might do so good. I don't think so. We've chronicled it on the podcast in the past. They don't do well in interleague play. They don't do well against the Pacific League in particular for some reason. And I just hope they don't get swept. And I don't think it's with 18 games. I think they could have a streak where they lose, you know, 10 in a row or something. I hope it doesn't happen, but you know, I don't see them doing.
I'm gonna have to play. I'm gonna have to agree with you in some respect that I think Koichi Ogata's manager is really being taxed by the decision-making process in Hiroshima. It's not being demonstrated to be something that's really in hand. I mean, I think he's better than he was at the start of the season. I think they're doing a few things. They're learning from their mistakes, but it seems like it's a little awkward and clunky. And I think presented with Interleague, where we have a whole slew of new challenges, it's like starting over from scratch. I could see, could they get swept? Sure. On the other hand, they've got Eldridge, who's a perfect candidate for a DH, which is kind of nice. They do have issues with the rosters because most of their best, you know, most of their best hitters are foreigners, and a couple of their best pitchers are foreigners.
Yep.
So that's a problem too.
So that's the one team that I was worried about. A team that I like in the Pacific League is the Chipolote Marines. I like the way they're playing. Of course, they've got Ikuhiro Kiyota, and I wrote a blog post about him because I remember in the 2010 Japan series, he really played well. Looked like he was going to be a star, and then he's kind of been, I don't know.
Well, that was 5 years ago.
So. Yeah, that was a long time ago, and he's been gone. He's just not been present, and all of a sudden he's busting out with this great month. He's having a great month, but Lee Daho with the SoftBank Hawks was also having a great month, and it's just been over, you know, he's been overwhelmed. Lee Daho is spreading out his hits, you know, over all the games.
I'm glad that's what you said.
Kiyota was hitting, you know, he's been hitting great for 10 days, and he's got just as many hits or more in the 10 days. But anyway, I like the way the Marines are playing, and I like them to win the Interleague.
Okay, my general comments are, yes, agreed. The two things I've learned from studying Interleague results are that the Pacific League teams as a whole get a boost from having that guy on the bench, having that DH.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is it going to hurt the Lions to have, if they have to put Tomoya Mori on the bench a little bit? Yeah, but they've still got a better hitting team than any team in the Central League. So, yes, it will. The other thing that I've learned is that the Pacific League pitchers have a little trouble adjusting to the smaller Central League parks. When they come in, they don't play normal. They give up bizarre numbers of runs. That being said, the Pacific League batters don't have any problems adjusting to the Central League parks.
Right.
And they make the Central League hitters look like amateurs. So it's they wean on they're better the hit the Pacific League hitters are really, really good, and we don't think of it that way because their numbers are skewed a little bit by playing in the Pacific League with all the big parks. So they tend to really go on a rampage in the CL parks. The pitchers will get hurt more than usual, but the PL teams come out slightly ahead in that mix, and then when they play in the PL parks, the DHs, the lack of regular DHs hurts the Central League teams. So that's what I've learned. Now you know everything that I know, and I can't pick a favorite. I don't know. It's 18 games. It's so short. You know,
I didn't ask you to.
Yeah, I know. I'm just
you wouldn't do it anyway.
I'm trying to save face here. I've been in Japan 30 years. I got to save a little face, man. I can't pretend like I'm opting out when I am in fact opting out.
Well, you didn't even have to say that because I wasn't asking you.
Okay.
All right, so one thing is,
since you're not asking, I'm not answering.
Okay. It'll be interesting to see what they do, what the Lions do with Morty. Anyway, I saw some stuff on Twitter and people were asking what they're going to do, and I know that he was practicing in right field. I saw that on the news. And you know, my opinion that day, and I didn't have time to respond, but is that he'd be no worse than Ryo Sakita, who they put out there, a number of times, whose bat they really like, but he just doesn't have the defensive skills. But Mori would be no worse than he'd be, I think. And so,
right field.
Yeah, I don't think I'd put him in right, but I don't think
I would either. And I'll tell you why I wouldn't is because he's not used to it. Yeah. Which you have Mori in the lineup because he can hit,
and that's what he should.
And
be
if doing. You got him out there worrying about whether he's going to catch a ball in right field. I just let him hit. I'd take him off the bench or, you know, I'd find another solution or let him play a little bit in the outfield and get his feet wet, you know, here and there, get his feet wet every day, maybe not.
Okay.
Might even send him down to the farm team and let him catch for a week. Give him a rest.
Yeah, give him a rest. All right. A two-seam transition to the Premier 12 groups, and they were released this past week, and the Premier 12 will be in November, is it?
It will be November, starting November 8th at Sapporo Dome when Japan plays South Korea. That'll be a pip.
Right. So, the groups were released, and I just found this odd. Japan was placed in Group B, but let's go through Group A first. It's Chinese Taipei, Cuba, the Netherlands, Canada, Puerto Rico, and Italy are in Group A. And then in Group B, it's Japan, the United States, the Dominican Republic, South Korea, Venezuela, and Mexico. And I just don't get it. This, you know, they always like to talk about groups of death. And this is going to be death from the moment the season ends here in Japan. They're going to, all the focus is going to, and of course, this is the first Premier 12, and we've got the WBC, and we've got the Olympics coming, and all kinds of stuff. So, I mean, there's going to be a lot of international baseball, but I don't see why they put all these strong teams into one group. They could have broken up Chinese Taipei and Italy and Canada, and not to bash Canada at all, but I mean, because they played international ball.
They certainly could have put, they could have put Italy in Japan's group instead of with Taiwan.
This group A is a cakewalk for the superpowers, I think. I mean, Cuba, the Netherlands, and Puerto Rico.
Well, Taiwan, of course, because they're just finishing their season. That's a plus for them. But actually, I don't know. I'm not certain. Well, let me just. Yeah, but it is a bit of a weaker group. Now, the other question, of course, which we don't know, and Hiroki Kokubo, the Japan manager, said he expected some word from MLB soon. You know, MLB is probably going to come out and say that we're going to leave it up to the teams.
Oh, smack.
Because they're in a real tricky position, and everybody at the World Baseball and Softball Confederation knows this. They're in a tricky position because, of course, they'd love to say, "Oh, we're all for baseball, but we don't want any of our players playing in your wacky little tournament." But on the other hand, if we do that, where's the fiction about how we're supporting baseball to get back in the Olympics?
Yeah,
that's a problem. I mean, they are supporting it to a large degree financially and this and that. But although I shouldn't actually say that because one of the WBSC people might like put a hit out on me or something. you mention money anywhere within range of somebody who works for the WBSC, and their ears perk up and they get all tense and jumpy, like, I don't know, like they're on some sort of amphetamines or something. It's why I should use drugs, drugs and money, keep those out of the conversation. But they get paranoid. As soon as you mention money, boy, they get weird. So
Hashtag high heat.
There are all kinds of stories floating about, I can't say, but the whole thing about the U.S. is, are they going to what degree are they going to give their full-fledged support to the Premier 12, and I just don't have any clue. Mm-hmm. But I think they'll leave it up to the teams, and the teams will decide whether they will let players, because there will be players who want to play in it.
Definitely.
And are they going to say, well, sorry, we were just kind of hoping to send our Arizona Fall League team over there?
Yeah, something to keep an eye on. All right, a few notes. Congratulations to Ichiro Suzuki for passing Babe Ruth on the all-time hit list.
That's right. We're going to do a Barry Bonds. Let's not talk about Babe Ruth anymore because he has been surpassed by Ichiro Suzuki.
Right, a Barry Bonds. Well, Ichiro got hit number 2,874 in the big leagues. And that was on Friday over there in the States. And he got another hit later in the game to add to that total. So, and I think I tweeted this a week before he got this hit. I said, now we can get right to the Pete Rose and Ichiro Suzuki debate and start talking about who's better. Because he's 103 hits. He didn't have a hit today, I don't think. So he's 103 hits.
Out as a pinch hitter.
Yeah, behind Pete Rose's total, if you add his NPB numbers to his MLB numbers. So, it's a pretty impressive 14+.
It's an interesting but, in the end, futile exercise.
Well, I don't think he's going to get the 103 hits this year, and I don't know that he's playing next year. And if he does, I still don't know if he gets to that total. But we'll see. We'll see what he gets at through this season. I think that's a big key, because if he's 50 hits shy, I don't see him getting it. I just don't. But if he's, 20, 30, somewhere in that range, maybe he can stick around.
Well, here's the thing. It's a lot's going to depend on how healthy the Marlins are.
True.
Because, he's going to be healthy. Or, they could drop some sort of atomic bomb in Florida, and, the Marlins, Ichiro Suzuki would be suiting up for the Marlins.
Yeah.
Well, he might be pitching, playing first, second, third, short, left, center, and right, and catching.
I saw that episode of Bugs Bunny. I know who's playing all the positions. Yep. Absolutely. And one more note, there was a little, I don't even know what you want to call it. You want to say brouhaha or kind of a melee or something, but it was just a meeting of people and some pushing and shoving between the Bay Stars and the Hanshin Tigers on Sunday. But what I didn't like was the manager Yutaka Wada of the Hanshin Tigers pushing Yokohama's catcher Mine after Hiroki Uemoto was hit in the ninth inning, and Wada goes out and he's bumping the catcher, and so I understand why Yokohama got very upset about it. I'm not very comfortable with a manager going out there and I wouldn't say taking liberties, but having his way. But he was getting pretty pushy and shovey and getting in the face of this young catcher. I just didn't like it. Okay. I think it just sets a bad precedent. So I'd like to see a fine come down. I doubt that he's going to get one.
Mm. Well, we rarely see anything more than milling about. You know, we had a couple of guys sort of like, don't touch me, don't touch me, don't touch me, smacking, you know, Matt Merton and Yoji Aikawa sort of like flailing at each other a little bit, like, get your hands off me kind of. That's about as much as we usually get in Japan. So actually having pushing and shoving around the field was kind of surprising to me.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I saw a run-in with an umpire the other day in which Hideki Kuriyama crashed into the umpire, and the umpire said, I'll give you that one for free. And then, you know, times have changed, because 20 years ago he was said, I'll give you another one for free. I'm going to write to the cops.
Yeah.
And he went, okay, I'm cool. And so he sat there and argued.
Yeah.
Yeah. Times have changed. The umpires are getting much, much, life's much easier for the umps than it used to be.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to fielding questions. Okay, this one comes from our buddy Glenn in Tokyo, and thank you, Glenn, for always sending or for regularly sending great questions to us. Thank you very much. He says, thanks as always for the enjoyable shows. Makes Monday so much easier to deal with. And he says, a quick question on managers and NPB. Stateside, I see the Brewers and Marlins making early season changes as things have not gone the way they had hoped early on. But I don't see too much of that in NPB. Is there a reluctance here to change the manager during the season? What does it take to get fired here? I look at the standings and I gotta believe that the Buffalo's manager would be a prime candidate for change. Maybe a fresh approach could turn things around. Jim.
You could ask Bobby Valentine what it takes to be fired. He might know a few answers.
I think, yeah, we're talking midseason or early.
We're talking about guys, yeah. We're talking about guys, yes.
Not guys who are not brought back or who's in the middle of the contract after the season. We're talking midseason. I don't like the way this stinks. Let's throw it out.
Do something about it, which is probably, it doesn't happen. To be honest, I don't remember a Japanese manager getting fired during the season. I have had managers quit.
Right.
And you but managers fired.
Yeah, you brought it up with the saving face statement, I think. And we saw last year with Haruki Ihara of the Seibu Lions.
Sure, it happens. Some guys walk away all the time.
Walked away. And that's Takata what they call it.
From the Swallows.
And that's the one that I was going to bring up. That was the one in, was it 2009 with Takata?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so Jim knows this story well. The manager Takata was talking before the game. He said, you know, he was not planning a change. And then right after the game, he held a presser and he stepped down. I mean, these things just
in which
happen.
He said, before I came to the ballpark, I knew I was going to quit today.
Yeah. And Akihiko Oya, I think he was twisting in the wind with Yokohama for a long time. I think that was in 2006, and he ended up walking away. So I think this is how it's phrased, and this is how it comes out. It's a mutual parting of the ways and all this stuff. But I think essentially these guys are booted out. They just don't do it that way. And obviously, if things continue for the Oryx Buffaloes in this, they won on Sunday. They got a great pitching performance from Yuki Nishi.
Yeah, I know.
I laugh because he's the new Yuki Saito.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing I guess we should mention here in the context is that we finally had a Chihiro Kaneko sighting, and it was on the mound in the Pacific League.
Didn't last
long. He skipped the minor league rehab bit, and he just shows up on the mound one day, and he had command of some of his pitches, and he had control of some of his pitches, but they were almost never the same pitch. Almost all the strikes he got were ones that he mislocated pitches with movement in the strike zone.
Yeah, he didn't look good. So, I mean, if anybody is a candidate, as Glenn said, to have their head locked in a guillotine at this time, it is Hiroshi Moriwaki of the Buffaloes. And
it won't happen.
I would say if things continue, because we already know what he is. We complained about Koichi Ogata of the Carp already, but we don't know what kind of manager he's going to be. Maybe we've got a Hiromitsu Ochiai in the makings, or a Masataka Nashida in the makings. We don't know yet.
I'm going to guess the answer is no.
Well, I'm going to guess the answer is maybe, because we don't know yet, but the evidence is building. We don't
true.
Know.
That's and true we enough. We don't know. Him. And we
and
don't
with,
know.
And with Moriwaki, we've had years and years of what he can do and what he's going to do for a team.
2.5 years, yeah.
All right, so we got 2.5 years of Moriwaki. I don't know. I think we pretty much know what he's going to do and what he's like and what his teams are like. So, I would assume that there'd be some change, that he'd walk away. Remember, Japanese managers walk away, foreign managers quit. The wording is different, right? When Terry Collins walked away from the Buffaloes, he flat out quit.
He did indeed, and Joe Lutz quit, and they tend to quit more.
Yeah, so I think it's more cultural. I just think it's because it's a group-oriented society, and these teams normally show loyalty. We don't have a lot of trades. You notice also, Glenn, we don't have guys getting traded near the beginning or the end of summer at a trade deadline to make other teams stronger so they can make a run at the pennant and onto a Japan Series. You don't see that happening either. The guys, they keep their players. Even when they go into free agency, they try to convince the players, quote unquote, to stay. Some of it's sincere. Some of it might not be so sincere. But there's not a lot of trades, even if you look at the transactions. They just don't get rid of guys. They just figure out a new way. Either they send you the minors, or they get a foreign player.
Yeah, I think part of that is, again, the Japanese part of the business model for NPB is marketing your players and marketing your manager as like part of your family. They're part of our family. We're gonna win or lose, live or die with these guys. It's hard, and then they have to. It's hard for them to turn around and say, "Well, it is a business. They're not actually. They're part of our family, but they were adopted."
Hashtag high heat.
It's really hard for them to do. That's one element of it. Another element is a number of people have told me, is that most Japanese teams don't actually have anybody in the front office who's qualified to, who has the authority to make these decisions, who actually knows what their players are capable of and knows anything about the opposing team's players.
Wow. Great.
So it's not like you have, we don't have we have people who are called general managers, but we don't have this whole class of people who are general managers who are responsible for exchanging player personnel and running the team's player personnel. They're sort of a variety of different people who are in charge, and their group decisions and these things just don't happen. Because the people who have authority don't know, they're not really allowed to trade people of value. They're only allowed to trade people who have no value to the team.
Right.
So most of the trades are these guys who essentially the team has absolutely given up on. Mm-hmm. And they're just trying to move them because they have another need for a player, like they need a third catcher, or they need a left-handed middle reliever who's not death on toast. I'll be honest about this. I see players. I mean, I have been informed in some respects about player trades in the past, and I see some of these guys, and I know that they can play in some of them. And I thought, in fact, one guy I know who was traded, the consensus opinion was he could never start for his team, and he's 30 years old and he's a quality player, but by the time he makes the adjustment to the league, to the top level league, he's not going to be able to play, and we've got no place to play him if he did. So let's just get rid of him and try to get something in exchange for him. And it's turned out he's been a pretty useful player for another team. It didn't look good for the guy who made the trade, but this guy was never, ever, ever, ever going to play other than a few games a year, so big deal.
Okay. Thanks again, Glenn, for the question. We appreciate it. Send your question by email to yakyujohn@gmail.com. Tweet us at JBW Podcast, hashtag High Heat, or you can also go to the Facebook page and leave us a comment there. MP3s, we're looking for them. We're waiting for them. Look for us on iTunes, and we'll see you next week. Enjoy your baseball.
See ya.
One World Sports is the exclusive home of the Yomiuri Giants in North America and features live coverage of all Giants home games. Please contact your local cable provider to find out how you can watch One World Sports.